Well, good morning and welcome to Warsaw Community Church. My name is Scott Naveen, and I get to be a part of our church. We're on our missions team. I'm part of our elder board, and we are just really glad that you're here with us this morning. You know, it's our desire every week to be able to have a service where you can come and experience God's presence. Hopefully just be able to kind of set the week you just had behind you, whether it was good or bad, and really just be able to focus on what the Lord has for you. We have people that pray for this service, that God would meet you where you're at. And so if you sometimes feel like a song speaking to you or the message is really speaking to you, that's because the Lord is meeting you where you're at. So if you want to get more connected at WCC and you haven't like kind of stepped over that line, we have a connection card that we'd love for you to fill out. It just gives us your information so that we can reach out and let you know what events are going on, ways that you can connect, Bible studies you can be a part of. There's a connect card at the info center, or if you scan the QR code in front of you, you can sign up online. for those of you that maybe this is your very first time, we have a special gift for you at the info center. We're glad you're here. Welcome. We want you to feel a part of WCC, and I feel like we have a really warm and welcoming environment. I've been here a long time, but it's neat to see new people that are coming in, and we want you to feel a part. One of the ways that God has designed his church to work, though, is for us all to be able to use the gifts, the experiences, the skills that we have. And so we're in a season right now where we're going through a series called Difference Maker. And one of the ways God wants to make a difference is through each one of us as we use the giftedness that we have. And so we've got a booth out in the lobby. It's called the Step Out booth. And basically, it's an opportunity for you to sign up or maybe just talk a little bit. You can't miss Alex today. He's got his spacesuit on today. He's like all glistening. I asked him if his suit came with a 9-volt battery this morning because it is happening. You need to check him out. But more importantly, find out where God wants to use you and plug in there. Well, we have a special privilege this morning. I have a lifelong friend that I'd like to invite up to the stage right now. Beth Baleke, about 20 years ago, I went on a missions trip to Uganda, and I was able to meet Beth and several of her ministry partners, and it has just been a fantastic relationship of being able to play a small part in the role of the ministry that Beth's been called to and several of her partners. So if you'd welcome Beth this morning, thank you.
Thank you so much. There is no way I would be here if you were not praying and giving to missions. Thank you so much. And I just want to encourage you to pray more, give, and go. We are working with South Sudanese, and there is war in South Sudan. And recently, when we took up Bibles, the pastor was so emotional. One of the pastors held the Bible and was so thankful because when there is war, they just run. And he didn't have a Bible to use to preach to the congregation. I went to one refugee camp, and a gentleman walked up to me and said, "I am hungry for," and I thought, "Oh, he's going to beg. I wonder what he wants." And he said, "I am hungry for something to read." So I went to my tent and picked gospel tracts, and I gave to him. And then the leaders came up to me and said, "We want to know what he was talking to you about." And I was like, "Oh, more problems." But I told them, and they said, "We were wondering because his shack got burnt last night. It went into flames. He was hungry for something to read." I want to thank you for resourcing us, giving us money that we can get Bibles and get Bibles to our beneficiaries. May the Lord bless you.
Beth, I know you're doing a lot of other work in a couple other neighboring countries. Could you tell them a little bit about maybe the roots of that and the work you've been able to do with like the values curriculum?
Okay. Majority of Ugandans are 14 years and under. Actually, it's the youngest population in the world. So in Tanzania, Uganda, South Sudan, and Ethiopia, we go into schools and teach the Bible and train the Christian teachers as well as church leaders on how to reach and disciple young people. And I'm telling you, I've done it for So many years. It's coming to 40 years, 40. And I meet people in government offices. I go to the hospital and doctors are stopping me and saying, Auntie Beth, you came to my school. My own nieces and nephews have come to the Lord. I was the first one in my family, and so many people, I've seen so many people come to the Lord. We praise the Lord.
What are some things that we can be praying for as you get ready to go back? You've been in the States for a while sharing, but you're going back and hit the ground running with ministry.
Please pray. The sky is the limit, and it's urgent that we raise up laborers, because the doors are wide open. And right now, Dickens and Chris are in Tanzania. It took them 36 hours in the bus from where it should have taken 7 hours. And they're training people. And when I go back, we have 50 South Sudanese pastors and leaders we are going to train. Please pray that these trainings will bear much fruit.
Yeah. Beth, would you mind praying for us and for the service this morning?
Absolutely.
I can take.
Let's pray. Father, we bow in worship and praise. You are faithful, you are mighty, you are a deliverer. Thank you for WCC. Thank you for the leadership. Thank you for each one individual and the families represented. I cry to you, Lord God Almighty, for revival to sweep over this place, to sweep over the families, the church, the nation. Lord God Almighty, I cry to you for these your children that will all obey you, that will go to the neighborhoods, will go where you send us to share the gospel. I cry to you, Lord, that you comfort those that are hurting, that you lead and guide, that you provide, you protect, that, Lord, will all be obedient, Lord, and follow you, King of Glory, and share with others the so much needed news of the good news. Please, Lord, bless them and encourage them as they've come here to worship and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. You know, we're going to be talking about a difference maker. And we're going to spend some time on ourselves, but I wanted to begin talking to you this morning about the real difference maker, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Isn't he the one that makes a difference? And today is Pentecost. So it's 50 days after the resurrection. And that doesn't have a whole lot of significance to us, but it's actually the birth of the church. And we're 1,995 years old, give or take 3 or 4 years. Got lost somewhere in there, not sure. Almost 2,000 years ago, on Pentecost, God began his church, and he began it by sending his Holy Spirit, the difference maker in our lives. So we have Christ going to the cross, crucified, buried, and he rose again. Defeated death, defeated sin, defeated the enemy. He's the difference maker. And then we see that he was with his disciples for a while, and then he says this to him. He says, I'm going, you're staying, and I want you to just wait. I just want you to wait, because I'm going to send my Spirit to you, the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to live in you. And you're going to have power. In fact, he says, after the Spirit comes, you will have power. And with that power, you're supposed to be used by God to take this message, that song we just sang, to witness of who God is, what Christ has done for him, what he did for each and every one of us. And so we see Christ and his promise. And then we see in Acts 1, he's telling us to go. Be witnesses for me, starting right here in Jerusalem, and then go out to Judea, and then Samaria even farther, and to the ends of the earth. So I love when we have Beth here or other missionaries who are taking the gospel, and we get to be a part, small part, a small part, an important part of seeing that command that Christ gave to his followers to go into the whole world and preach the gospel everywhere to everyone. Because he's the difference maker. And then we see the Spirit come. And the Spirit comes down on Pentecost. And as he comes down, he does give that power. I'm not going to spend a lot of time thinking about the disciples, but I'm telling you, if we were to timeline their lives out and all of their failures and all their mistakes as they followed Christ and they loved Jesus and they wanted to be closer to him and with him, and they said, just like Jesus, they were saying things like, hey, Jesus, why don't you call down fire from heaven and kill them? I mean, they were like not very good disciples, but that's what they said. They said things like, hey, Jesus, can I be the most powerful in your kingdom? Because I like position and I like power and I'm pretty good at being in control. Those same disciples, the ones that ran and hid, they were the smart ones. Peter wasn't so smart. We know that about Peter. Peter's like, I'll never deny you. 6 hours later, he's denying him. And he was denying because he's afraid. He was fearful. He's fearful of people, people with position and power, fearful of the mob, fearful of everything, really. And so the Sanhedrin is in the process of condemning Jesus to death. And he denies that he even knows Jesus. They all scattered. They ran. They're just ordinary people. But then, Acts 1:8, the Spirit comes. And after he comes, everything changes. Because they were just ordinary people, and I would suggest to you that we are all just ordinary people. But these ordinary people, when the Spirit came and filled them, they were changed. Because they are just ordinary people, but God is an extraordinary God. I think we forget that. We look at our weaknesses and our inabilities, our fear, our insecurities, our anxieties, our doubts, our failures, our sin, the broken relationships, all the baggage that we drag around all of the time. And it's pretty easy to recognize we're just ordinary people, but we have an extraordinary God. And he's given everyone who's placed their faith in Christ as a seal, as a mark that they've accepted that free gift of salvation and what Christ did on the cross for payment of sins. And yes, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, but then he gives the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of us. We see in Acts chapter 4, I'm just gonna read you a couple verses. You know, Peter, the one who wouldn't stand up, wouldn't even mention that he knew Jesus, now he has power. And he is healing people. He and John are healing people. They heal a guy. And then those leaders, those religious leaders that had Jesus crucified, murdered, they call him in for questioning. It's Acts chapter 4. And they go in there. These are people that have real power, right, on earth. And what do you think their response would be? Hey, how do we get out of this? No, I don't. Who are you talking about? Jesus? I don't know him. No. We see such a different person in Peter and in John, both. This is what it says in verse 4, verse 12. As they're being questioned, they say this: there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. Back a few verses, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They're following the Holy Spirit. It's almost like the Spirit of God spoke those words through them. Those that were watching, these religious people, says this: the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, this series, Difference Maker. You can be a difference maker. I can be a difference maker to the extent that we allow God to work in us, to flow through us. It's going to be him doing the work, not us. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. And this is going to give us an analogy. I love this. Jeremiah is a prophet, and God spoke to him. And he would write down the prophecies. He'd write down what was coming. The judgments were coming. Jeremiah wasn't a very popular fellow. Let's just say that. Hey, you're doomed. Oh, and you're doomed. It's over. But right in the middle of Jeremiah, God does a little something different. He says, hey, rather than writing this down, I want you to go and do something. I want you to go down to the potter's house. This is where it picks up in verse 1. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he'd hoped. So he crushed it back into a lump of clay again and started over. That's the story of my life right there. You know, you think about pottery. We don't make a lot of pottery, right? But go ahead and show a video just to refresh ourselves. And maybe you took an art class and maybe you got to work with pottery. I know there's some artists, fellow artists, I should say, artisans that can do pottery. You know, when I was in junior high, that's the first time they let you pick an elective. I had two electives I got to pick. Of course, shop was the first, and then thinking, where can I get an easy grade? And I actually really liked Josephine Fagel. I didn't call her that then, but she was the art teacher. And our school was set up, small farming community, and so the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, that was junior high. And we were in the same building as the high school, so we had the same art teacher. And she's crazy. She's fun. She was an artist. And I liked her in that class in sixth grade. Now I'm thinking, I know who's going to be in this class, as I'm hearing some of my classmates, mostly female, are going to be in this class. And I'm thinking, I think I could do pretty well. And that confidence I had and that admiration of my artwork was from my mother. Because I would bring home my stick figures, and she'd put them on the fridge. So unless you're going to call my mom a liar, I am an artist. But stick figures didn't cut it in seventh grade art. And we got to work with pottery. And I started with a lump of, and we had the wheel. We didn't have the little fancy one where it just goes by itself. Had this kick thing. And I was good at kicking that thing. Man, I could make that thing spin. But I couldn't make anything. And then after class, and I didn't get to work on it a lot, but over the whole semester, we were supposed to make something. Like a cup, a mug. And I had dreams of making a cup that had the Green Bay Packers on the front, and I was going to glaze it. It's going to be beautiful. What I ended up with was a lump of clay. And so as time was running out and I had to produce my project, I finally just sat down and I just rolled out little snakes with the clay, kind of like Play-Doh. And I made a beautiful ashtray. And as I was making that ashtray, it's about four high. I mean, you put a lot of ash in that thing. Glazed it. The G didn't look really like a G anyway. But I started making the little indents for the cigarettes, you know. And lo and behold, I put 16 on there. I like that. I was good at that, making little indents. So 16 people could sit around my ashtray. Now that is a practical use of pottery. So I'm not an artist. Some of you are. But that lump of clay. And I reworked that thing dozens of times, and I couldn't do anything with it. But I'm not a master pottery maker. So in this passage, God is the pottery maker. And he knows what he's doing. And he's making something in you. In this analogy, you are the clay. I am the clay. And he's molding us and shaping us. And you know what? Sometimes he has to start over. Sometimes you have to take that handle off because it's not usable. Sometimes hard things come into our lives. Sometimes really good things come into our life because that's part of the master making something usable. And you saw those pictures. You saw that video. You saw that happening. The care. That's what God is doing in you and in me. As we let him. And sometimes he's had to take me. And I love this picture, because even in the Old Testament, this Old Testament God, right? What's it say that he does? He picks up that lump of clay because it's failed, it's not what he wanted, and he throws it in the trash. He discards it. No. He puts it back on the table. And that speaks so much of the character of God. He's a God of redemption. He's a God of refining. That's what he wants to do. And we need to let him. Let him apply the water to keep the clay soft. So this picture, he is the potter and we are just clay. That ordinary clay. And we're ordinary people. So how is it possible that God is going to be able to use us? Well, there's a connection. There's a connection with that and then a passage in 1 Corinthians. And I wanted to go there now and just kind of walk through that. Because as we do that, I think you're going to see something. That there is a responsibility on our part. And that is to be soft clay. And let the potter do the work he wants to do in your life. Let him redeem things. Let him restore things. I said Corinthians. Sorry, Amy. We're going to 2 Timothy first. It says this. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. So as God is molding us, we have a responsibility through surrender to simply be clean vessels. To be surrendered to the Spirit and His leading. To be surrendered to following Christ deeper into a relationship with Him so He can be purifying. So that He can then flow through us. Because even a great jar or a mug that's full of nasty things you don't want to use, you certainly don't want to drink out of it, do you? God's wanting to use us just as ordinary people. As we surrender to Him, as we yield to Him, as we follow His will, to just pour through us. And God can use us, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. And just like the disciples, it wasn't them. They were still the same ordinary people, but now they had the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to give words to and give power to. They now can enter and pray and go right to the throne of God and ask and beseech God and beg God and plead with God and praise God. Because what Christ has done, this is what he designed. And so you think of those pieces of clay that He's molding, you. And we're all different, right? But I want to suggest to you, God can and use you if you'll yield to His Spirit. And then He can flow through you. And He can use you. And you can be a difference maker in somebody's lives. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing up here. If I didn't believe that God was able to do things way beyond my abilities and pour through me and actually speak to you as you surrender the Spirit and the Spirit gives you understanding of the truth, I wouldn't be doing this. I'm just ordinary. But I believe that God can use ordinary me to do extraordinary things because His Spirit lives inside of me and He lives inside of you. I want to take a moment and just congratulate our graduates. And by knowing that this is the first service, we might not have very many here. Hopefully there'll be a few more in the next service. But I want to say to the graduates, congratulations. Well done. And to you parents, well done or mediocre job, whatever it might be, but you made it. But I think about what they're heading out on and this amazing thing that they're on this quest, right? They're going out into the world. They're going out to college, going into the workplace. Things are new. And don't you worry a little bit about them? How many of you think that our seniors graduating, going off into this world are prepared? Prepared well enough? Any crazy people think they are? You know why? Because they've never done it. They've never done it. But they are going to. They're just going to take those next steps. And I trust that they've prayed and asked God where to take them. And I want to encourage you seniors, you graduates, that you're going on a quest. And the quest is not to accomplish something. It's actually to surrender to Him. And we look at that and we think, man, they got their whole lives in front of them. Think back to maybe your college days or when you first got into the workforce. Don't you wish you would have known what we're talking about now that, and we knew it then? Could have started off, surrendered to Him. I think about some of the friends I've made, particularly in those early years, after I was a Christian, that I did not live in front of them. I didn't reflect Christ to them. I didn't talk much about Christ with them. That came later. And I think those missed opportunities to be a difference maker in their life. And I'm thankful because many of them have come to faith. I just didn't get to be a part of it. Just texting, messaging with a friend last night. He's sitting on his porch like old people like me, and I just got off my porch, and he's on his porch, and I wish we were on the same porch talking, but he came to faith about 20-some years after we were in high school. God's at work. And he used ordinary people there in Iowa to share the gospel with Mike. And he wants to use you. I was going to bring a card up. Anybody have a card that you picked up on the way in? Difference maker? Nobody? Okay, you're all going to have to go see Alex. Because on that card is your opportunity to be a difference maker. And I don't know what would hinder you from that. Maybe it's just the fear. Maybe it's, man, I don't know if I could do that. Last week, Steve was talking, and he was sharing about those Sunday school teachers. He named them. He's old. I don't know if you knew that. He's like old. He still remembers them because they made a difference in his life. And you can too. You can make a difference in the lives of our kids and sunlight, and not just in their life. As you get to know them, as you care for them, as you pray for them, as you teach them, as you model for them how Christ loves people, but also for their parents. Their parents, so they can be in here and worshiping without distraction, taking in God's word, having a quiet moment with God right here with the rest of us. You can be a difference maker, and there's tons of other ways to be a difference maker, and I want to challenge you to recognize you are ordinary, but we have an extraordinary God. And if you'll just step out, I could give you the statistics of how many of us are and how many of us aren't serving or giving or active in our own pursuit of growth and community. I don't know if it would shame us, encourage us, maybe some of both. But I'm not talking about us collectively. I'm talking about you. So you go ahead and roll the decks through all the excuses you have. And then get to the last one. And that last card in your Rolodex is, does God want me to do this? Am I going to trust Him with that time, with that energy? Maybe stepping into something I'm not. Just like our seniors, I don't know what's really coming. I don't feel that prepared to step into that. So our mission statement is growing deeper in our relationship with Christ, and that's why we're talking about serving, that's for us. But our mission statement doesn't stop there because we see so much in Scripture, like we just talked about Acts 1:8. You will receive power and you'll be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. There's a second part of our mission statement that says, sharing the hope of the gospel. And so I wanted to read, this is where we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 25, and we're going to be looking at the second half of that. It says this in verse 18 of chapter 1. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jew and Gentile, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest human strength. This is how big our God is. He can take ordinary people, just ordinary clay, and shape us into something that he can use. And that requires, yes, a stepping out by faith, understanding that we have the Holy Spirit in to lead and to guide us. That through the Spirit of God in us, that we could do extraordinary things, because that's the God that we serve, that's the God that we worship, that's the God that we know. Ordinary people, an extraordinary God. And I think about the difficulty of that. I mean, we can talk about serving for what would it be 3 hours once a month, and we're like, I don't know if I can do that. But what about when we talk about sharing our faith with our families, our friends, our coworkers, to those around us, our neighbors? Is that overwhelming to you? I was talking to someone, actually they wrote me an email, and they said, when we talk about evangelism, sometimes I get itchy. It's a little bit of nerves, a little bit of something. I thought, oh, that's a great way to describe how we feel about evangelism. And we might not know how to do it, and we know we should, and we feel guilty, and we've maybe done it in the wrong way before, and we're looking at the wrong thing because we're looking at ourselves, and we're not looking up at him. It's daunting. It's beyond us. And that's what these passages are talking about. We're just clay. We're just ordinary. God can use us as we follow him, as we surrender, as we yield. And then in this passage, he uses the foolishness of us and preaching. I don't know why he did that, but he did. Think about it. Think of all the ways he could have chosen to reach this world. And he chose you to be a witness. He chose me to be a witness. This lump of clay that has to get put back on the wheel often and have the impurities taken out and be reshaped so I could be used. He chose you. And he just needs you to step out into that. To be willing to share, to be bold because of the Spirit of God in us, that people would see us and they'd say, they've been with Jesus. Oh, I recognize you have been with Jesus. I want to challenge you this week. I want you to demonstrate your dependency and your need, and I'm going to demonstrate my dependency and my need, and I'm going to be praying first for my own heart that I would just be willing. And then over this week, I want you to identify someone in your life that God just keeps bringing to your mind, and I don't want you to do anything other than pray for them. Pray for them. Ask God to start molding their heart, that their hearts would be softened towards him. He's the one that does that, not us. Pray for them. And then pray that God would give you the opportunity to just begin a conversation about spiritual things. You have a relationship with them. You can talk about a lot of things. And let's be honest, those things are material. They're temporal. They don't really matter. Certainly not in the scope of eternity. And so we're being called together. You are being called to just be that pliable clay in God's hand and let him use you. As ordinary as you feel, as you think you are, let him do a work in you. So that's the second prayer. You're praying for someone specifically, and you're praying for yourself that you take those opportunities to have spiritual conversations when God gives you those opportunity. To speak to what you know, to witness to what you've seen and experienced. Testify, give testimony of what you've seen God do in your life. Oh, there will be a lot more that we talk about as we move ahead, but we are going to continue to focus on the things that we know God has for us as a church, and that is each one of us growing deeper in our relationship and our affection and our love for him and sharing the hope we have that comes from the gospel and what Christ has done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are amazed at your goodness and your love. We're thankful for your grace, that you continue to mold and that you shape us, that you never give up on us. Lord, I'm asking that you would give us soft hearts towards you. Lord, I pray that you would give us a sense of the urgency and the needs and your love for people. As we understand how much you've loved us and how much you've forgiven and what you can do, God, I pray this would be your church that is just full of people who are clean vessels, that you can just pour through us, that you'd be able to do extraordinary things because you are an extraordinary God, and somehow you're able to use even us. We are thankful, we are grateful, and we love you. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Before you start to head out, I want to remind you that there is a booth out there. Alex, apparently, in this, I've seen it. It's something. And go out there and see how you might be a difference maker in someone's life. And do not forget to be praying. Pray for that person, pray for their heart, and then pray for yours. Have a great afternoon, week, and go Pacers!